morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you together on this fantastic day. August 27th already. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, and oh my goodness, did you have a chance to watch the RNC last night? I had an opportunity to tune into C-SPAN, which, by the way, I think that's my favorite way because then you don't have to muddle through the commentary, right? Everybody else's opinion of what was just said. You can find out for yourself and hear for yourself. And I had such a great time listening to C-SPAN, listening to each and every testimony, basically, is what it was. I felt a little bit like I was at church. I don't know about you. It's kind of an interesting season that we're in. So many people have shared their perspective and how they've walked through difficulties and struggles. And because of liberty and freedom and faith, and because of the last few years, the leadership that we've had right here in our country, I love how they're sharing how it's affected their lives. And I love the fact that the testimony was everyday, ordinary Americans, right? It wasn't fancy celebrities or athletes or this and that. It was everyday American heroes, our neighbors, our friends. And I was so motivated and moved by that. One particular gentleman, I don't even remember the name, I should have wrote it down, but the gentleman who's running for Congress, who said if he's elected, he'll be like the youngest. And he was in a wheelchair because he was in an automobile accident. He was very, very, very articulate, very good. And I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to watch the RNC, I encourage you to go to C-SPAN. They have it recorded. You can go in and watch the last couple days and make a plan to watch it tonight as well. It's very moving. And I loved Mike Pence, our vice president, and his commentary last night, and where they chose to have him accept his nomination was a phenomenal place. And we really gave honor to our flag and honor to why we stand, and gave a background to why it's so important that we come together as Americans and stand for our Constitution, our liberty, that we are better together. And yes, we've been through some struggles. Yes, we've made bad decisions, but we're looking forward and we're going to learn from it and we're going to be better together. And I was encouraged, just like you should be, right? When you go to church, inspired, encouraged, motivated, empowered, educated to move forward. And I don't know, there was a little bit of a faith stirred in within me by watching that. And if you didn't get a chance to, I encourage you to do so. And what I love is that you can share the links on your Facebook page, and maybe some of the naysayers in your influence, maybe they'll take the time to watch, perhaps. And maybe, too, they would be inspired. So glad to have you along for the ride this morning. I'm telling you what, we've got a fun show planned for you. As we look at our constitutional rights, and this is something very important, I know many times I've had Terry on the show with me, and we've talked about our constitutional rights and why it's important that we be aware of what they are. One thing in particular, besides our First Amendment right, is our Second Amendment right. It's very important that we be aware in these times, and I think as we look at people and their surveys and the focus groups right now going on, people are saying, hey, my safety, my security is a priority, not only for me and my family, but also my business, my livelihood. And in all sides, we feel like we're being sucker punched in a sense, you know, economically with our jobs, it being told what we can and cannot do when we go step outside of our house in regards to if we should wear a mask or not wear a mask and have our distance and not be in connected with our community like we are so used to. Plus, there's an element of that we need that connection. We are designed, I believe, by God to connect with one another. We need community, and we suffer, and I think our immunities go down when we can't get connected. but moreover, our safety. And what's going on right now in Portland is headline news all across the nation, and yet we continue to have a governor who refuses to condone what is going on in the inner city of Portland. Even more so, yesterday there was all kinds of rumblings on social media. There was a flag flying event in Gresham where the patriots were coming together to fly the flags and support the police. And just equally in social media was the Antifa saying, hey, they're going to do this in Gresham. Show up. We need you to show up. And so it's almost like on purpose. Their Antifa is trying to come where they can cause trouble and get in the media and the highlight. I maintain that if the media stop broadcasting and giving highlight to Antifa and they don't get any of the prime time anymore, maybe their motivation would stop. I don't know. I think they kind of like to see themselves in the center of everything, perhaps. But one of the things that is so incredibly important is that you and I do what we can do to make sure that we're prepared, right? And that we know how to safeguard ourselves, our family. And one of the conversations I've had recently with someone is they're very unsure about carrying a weapon, very unsure about their Second Amendment rights, and feel that if they have a gun themselves, then that might provoke something. That if I have a gun, then maybe I'm more of a target to be shot at or to be injured if I have. And I'm thinking, okay, we have some work to do, because technically, think about this, walk through this scenario with me. If you live out in the country and someone, there's a threat and someone's coming in to break into your home, when you call 911, it's probably going to take 15, 20 minutes for them to respond. So even though we call them first responders, it's really the second response. Your first response is to how do you protect yourself and what do you do about that, right? And so the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's our Second Amendment and our right. The Second Amendment is the most important right because the Second Amendment keeps the government from being able to impose tyranny. Also, the Second Amendment gives people the right to protect themselves without the government being able to take the right away. Last, without the Second Amendment, all the others are useless. It is a guarantee to the people that we have the right to bear arms if it keeps the government from taking away our rights because we can resist. And so in that effort to get educated and find out ways that we can get maybe a concealed weapon permit and get prepared ourselves as individuals, I ran across this individual, and I don't think it's any mistake. I think it's a treasure. You know how I am. I love to go out and find good treasure in people, and I have found Eric. Eric is joining me here this morning, and Eric, good morning to you. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, did you ever realize that you would be a treasure, other than to your beautiful wife, who's also in the studio here? But you are, Terry and I like to go out treasure hunting because we're new to Oregon, new back to Oregon. Terry, first time, me, I graduated from high school and we're back. And we like to go on adventures to meet people and find their stories and find out what they do. And one day I saw you talking online about doing a class, a concealed weapons class, and you and I started a conversation. I said, come on the air and talk to me, talk to our listeners about this. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll get more into the meat and potatoes of what I want to talk about. How's that?
All sure. Right. No, that sounds great. I'm a Portlander. I was born and raised here. I was homeschooled through high school. Fresh out of high school, I spent 2 years volunteering as a cadet with a local law enforcement agency, and then I've spent about 5 years as a volunteer reserve with a local agency. I've been an NRA instructor since 2014. I really love teaching people about firearms and safety. Like, I could seriously talk about this topic for days. I'm a total nerd, which is good, but I also always seek to be a student. I think the second that we decide we no longer have something to learn is the second that we really become dangerous and unhelpful. So I see a lot of instructors in a lot of different fields kind of get into that mindset where they're at the top of their game and they have nothing to learn. And I think that's dangerous, especially when it comes to topics like this. But yeah, I'm a firearms instructor. I teach concealed carry classes. I think the most important thing that people need to learn is what their rights are. No rights are absolute. The Supreme Court Court has made that pretty clear. There are always time, manner, and place restrictions. And so understanding where your rights to self-defense exist in any given encounter is super important. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't know about that they need to.
So when you're not teaching concealed weapon classes and helping people in this area, you also have another little side business and gig. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I also run Knopp Media. We do video production, graphic design. We're getting into motion graphics as well, helping companies, especially smaller companies, advertise and promote themselves. I think right now, especially with the tumult in the economy, I think there's some really big opportunities for people to make it big. And our tagline is tell your story. Like, we are there to help you communicate your message to your clients and your potential clients. My dad worked in television broadcasting for a little over 30 years. And so, like, I grew up surrounded by cameras and nerdy equipment. And that's where I got my passion for that from. And so I tell people that I shoot things either way. I'm either shooting things with cameras or I'm shooting things with guns.
And you have an ability to really impact lives both ways, too. I know.
Absolutely.
From the media and from the video side of the world, I've got lots of friends that are in that side of the world. It has changed so much in the last, mm-hmm. even the 10 years. And I know radio has changed as well.
Yeah.
And we have so many more doing self-podcasts, even at home.
Absolutely.
And even when I traveled to Sturgis the last couple of weeks, you know, being able to do that from a different location and continue onward is amazing. What is the most in your video business? Mm-hmm. What is the most called for help that you give? Is it the aerial shots? Is it the personal stories? What are you doing the most of?
Yeah, I think we do a lot of about us videos.
Mm-hmm.
Companies kind of letting people know who they are. I think that when it comes to marketing, it's a lot easier to buy a product, especially a service-oriented product where there's a lot involved, with someone that you can relate to and trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we wind up doing a lot of about us videos. We also wind up doing a lot of customer testimonials, because anybody can go and talk all kinds of stuff about their own company. It's much more impactful when you have customers who are willing to step up and say, yeah, I absolutely endorse these guys, this company.
And the beautiful thing about that is people are more engaging when it's a video than it is audio. I find that when there's a Facebook post or an Instagram and there's video there, I tend to click on it maybe a little more than just having something written. Is that what you're finding as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Cisco came out with a report a couple years ago, and their anticipation was that by the year 2021, 83% of all internet traffic would be video streaming.
Incredible. That's a great, great opportunity for people. So if someone wanted to find out more about your business on mm-hmm. that end, and we're going to get more into the concealed weapon here in a bit, but if they wanted, where would they go to find out more about that?
You can find us at knoppmedia.com, K-N-O-P-P, knoppmedia.com.
Okay, Eric Knopp. And you can get your help and get assistance that way. I think that's a wonderful skill that you had. And
yeah.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit more about concealed weapon. And I have got some questions, and I hope you can answer. Hopefully, put you on the spot. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of it when we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use today and every day. Have a wonderful break. We'll be back right after this. Good morning to you. Together on this wonderful day. Oh man, the weeks go so fast. Can you believe it's already the 27th of August? Right around the corner, we'll be having Labor Day and getting right into the fall. In fact, I went shopping yesterday and saw all the fall decorations, and I'm like, no, not yet. It seems like we haven't really had summer, and yet we have had summer. It's just this COVID has totally upended everything that we know, right? All of our seasons. And we keep saying that, you know, someday too, this shall pass, right? And it feels like it's going on and on and on. And it's almost like Groundhog Day. Every single day, it's like, here we are again. And The good news is we will continue to see amazing weather this week. I am so blessed by the weather that I've been experiencing the last few days. Temperatures in the 80s, overnight lows in the 50s, which is perfect because you can open up that window at night, get that cool breeze in, and it warms up nice during the day, but not too hot to get out and about. And so even through the weekend, it looks like temperatures will be in the 80s and overnight lows in the 40s. Again, great camping weather. I don't think I'm going to get that done quite yet, but maybe coming around the corner, I'll be able to do some camping. My daughter, my youngest daughter, Bree, is going to come on an adventure to Oregon for the very first time. She is living and working and taking classes in Arkansas. And so she'll be coming out for a visit. So maybe we'll get some camping in while she's here. We're so glad to have you tuned in to Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, and we're hanging out this morning with Eric. And he is telling us and keeping us up to date on what's going on as far as our Second Amendment rights and concealed carry. He's an entrepreneur. He's a community servant, and he has a law enforcement background, and he's certainly equipping each and every one of us and what we need to do and what our rights are. Let's start there, Eric. What is our right here in Oregon when it was in regards to guns? What is our right?
Oregon Constitution allows the possession and carry of firearms. It's pretty much in line with the Second Amendment. As a conservative, I think it's one of Oregon's best kept secrets, given how we're known nationwide. Mm-hmm. As you know, nobody would expect Oregon to have fairly conservative gun laws, and I'm kind of it's our best kept secret, and I'm kind of hoping it stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody changes them.
And so much so that even the conservatives don't know they can have a concealed.
Absolutely.
And so what is that process like for myself? New to Oregon, I want to get a permit. What do I need to do?
So in Oregon, your concealed carry permit is issued by your sheriff of residence. So whichever county you're in, you're going to apply to your local sheriff's office. On top of that, the state requires that you provide proof of competency. And the component, the requirement for that is that handgun safety is a part of the course. So if you have a generic hunter safety certificate, oftentimes they won't accept that because it doesn't specify that handgun safety is part of the class. Mm. If you go and you take a basic handgun safety course, that would satisfy the requirement. When you apply for your CHL, there's no testing process. There's no shooting requirement for that class. So my CHL class is mostly use of force law, because I think that's what most people are interested in, is when can I defend myself?
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to take that proof of competency there. Oregon is a shall issue state, which means that if you meet the legal requirements to have a CHL, your sheriff shall issue. The law says shall, not may. So the sheriff shall issue you a permit.
Okay, so now let's cover the legal aspect of being able to have a permit. What are the parameters there?
So generally, I don't. It's a pretty long list. I don't
okay.
have it right in front of me.
Sure.
Your local sheriff's office will have it posted on their website for sure.
Good.
If you Google requirements for Oregon CHL, you'll have thousands of results through Google.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, nothing that would prohibit you from being a possessor or purchaser of firearms at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about marijuana because that's an interesting one.
Yes.
One of the requirements is that you cannot be a user of or addicted to any controlled substance. We're in a weird spot with that because marijuana is legal in
right.
Oregon, but it's still illegal at the federal level. So if you were to go purchase a firearm from a gun dealer, you would fill out the form 4473, which is the standard ATF background check.
Mm-hmm.
And it asks that same question. So if you use marijuana in Oregon, you would be legally required to check yes on that box, and then you would be denied your firearm purchase because
Whoa.
It's still illegal at the federal level.
Okay.
Which is something a lot of people don't know.
And then if you say no and you do and you get found out, then
that's
you're
a federal
in trouble.
Felony.
Then that's a felony.
For lying on the 4473.
Oh, for
yes,
the
ma'am.
Love. So that is an interesting, perplexing
yeah.
Contradiction right there.
Yeah.
So
in every state that's legalized marijuana has that problem.
So like you on the RNC last night, I'll just throw this out as an example, or two nights ago, President Trump pardoned a man who had been a bank robber for 3 years, or three different times he'd been a bank robber and he'd been a felon or whatever. And he served his time. He's now has a wonderful program helping others. You know, he's really a changed person. and the president pardoned him right on national TV. It was amazing. But I think about these individuals who've had federal offenses and they've redeemed their lives and they're moving on. When you've been in trouble with the law and you have a federal or a felony, does that mean forevermore you can never personally defend yourself and have a concealed weapon? Or do you know? Maybe this is a beyond one of those questions.
Yeah. So typically, depending on the nature of the felony conviction, typically it's a lifelong ban on firearm possession. That by default would mean, since you can't legally possess firearms, no sheriff is going to issue you a concealed carry permit because you can't legally possess the firearm in the first place.
Can they get in trouble for even trying?
Applying, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're denied a CHL, there is an appeals process that your sheriff's office would walk you through if you felt like you were wrongfully denied a permit.
Well, and I know that at one point, too, you lose your opportunity to vote if you're a felon.
Correct.
But if you serve your term and everything has been, you can earn that right back. And so I wondered if there was a way, or maybe the classes or some way.
I think the government is real touchy about firearms and arming people who have, you know, criminal convictions, which is something that I understand it from a liability and a government perspective.
Right.
I think, as you know, politically, and this is touchy, right? Because like we have the laws that are on the books, which we could change, and then there's my political beliefs, and so I'm stuck walking this line of, well, this is the current law, but this is what I think politically.
Right.
I'm of the opinion that if you do your time, if you have offended society and you do your time, I think your rights should be fully restored, and that's something that a lot of people disagree with.
Well, and if there's a process that people can have an appeal. I mean, if we get the right people elected, maybe they can look at re-changing those laws, you know, as well. We're having a great conversation about our Second Amendment rights. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I got a few more questions for you after this. We'll be back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's a beautiful day indeed. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use. Want to remind you to go to our website, kslm.news. You can listen to all the podcasts. In fact, it's so fun to go back and listen to shows like from Jeff's show in the morning and even some of the other shows throughout the day. If I've missed them, I'll go back and listen to Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and our weekend shows. Oh my goodness, Terry Saul, he's had some great, if you missed last Saturday's show, it was a profound show, and I encourage you to go on our website, kslm.news, and get up to date on our podcast. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And today's show is brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. You can get a hold of Bill at 503-885-0789. We're continuing the conversation this morning about our Second Amendment right, our right to carry. And now I've got Eric here with me. And Eric, you know, we have a right to carry, open carry in Oregon, don't we?
We do.
And so what does that look like? It's interesting. And I think of the time when I went to Israel in 2010, and it was kind of shocking for me. Here, I'm a gal whose dad was in the Army, Fort Hood. I did some ROTC when I was in college. And so I did some land night navigations and some exercises over the weekend, and we carried, you know, our rifles with us, and, you know, we were on the ground crawling around.
Yep.
Believe it or not, yeah, here I'm all girly girl, but I did all of that in college. And but we are not accustomed here in America to see people open carrying weapons, right?
Sure.
Or guns, or even on their belts. Some people are offended. They don't realize that that is something that we can do here in Oregon, right?
Yeah, it is. It can be sticky because local ordinances or local governments are allowed to pass ordinances restricting open carry.
Mm.
The exemption to that is if you have a concealed carry permit. So the irony in Oregon is that if you have a concealed carry permit, you can pretty much open carry.
Mm.
So there seems a bit of an oxymoron. Outside of those areas, generally, if you're outside of like most, I would say most, if not all, of the major cities, metropolitan area, all have ordinances against open carry unless you have a concealed carry permit. And typically that involves carrying the weapon unloaded, especially for rifles and long guns. Not so much if you're open carrying a handgun on your hip, that can be loaded typically. And so I think we have a right to open carry. I think the fact that we don't see it a lot is a testament to a lot of things. I think it's a testament to the good work that law enforcement does, that people don't typically feel the need to walk around with a rifle openly displayed. If you've carried a rifle for any amount of time, you realize how cumbersome it can be. Mm-hmm. So I think there's that side of it. And then there's also the legal practical respect side of it, of you don't want to cause alarm or cause panic with people, because that is actually a crime if you incite people to panic. So, you know, if you're going to open carry, that's a balance, I think, of figuring out, yes, I have this as a right, but is it a good choice to make? Mm. I think for me as an instructor with the background that I have, I think that you lose a massive tactical advantage by open carrying. So from a practical tactical perspective, right, I like to call it that. I think you become the first target if somebody can easily see, okay, that's the guy I got to take down first.
Growing up here in Oregon, one of the advantages that I love and I look back to fond memories is with my dad, who's a hunter. Mm-hmm. My brothers are hunters. They would go hunting for deer, sure, for elk, things like that here in Oregon. And oftentimes we would go woodcutting and we'd go shooting.
Yeah.
And we'd shoot pop cans or whatever. And so I love to shoot rifles and things. So you're talking about the open carry thing and not having it loaded, and yet we have hunters,
sure,
who will carry their... So there must be some...
Yeah, like if you're actively engaged in hunting and whatnot, that's a different discussion. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that I'm definitely not anti-open carry in the sense that I want it to be legal. And mm-hmm. I think that we all have individual choices to make, which is what makes this country so great.
Right.
And I like to encourage people to really think about the individual choices that they're making. Of course, you can make that choice. I think there are plenty of times where open carry is appropriate. When you're out hunting, when you're out camping, when you're out hiking in the middle of nowhere, and you really absolutely are your first line of defense,
right,
against cougars, bears, whatever,
ugh,
I think you're insane,
oh,
not to
right,
not to carry a gun with you. I think that's different if you're at a state park on a really common hiking trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, just so your listeners get a better understanding of who I am. I carry my gun all the time. With my training and my experience and my background, I would feel really... when I took a class, one of the instructors told me that there are fates worse than death, and that primary fate is having to live with yourself and the decisions that you make.
Right.
So I would feel terrible with my level of training and experience if I was in a situation where I could have done something to help and I wasn't able to because I left my gun at home.
Well, and there's situations like that popping up all over America. People that have concealed carries, they're in a situation in a diner or restaurant or community place, and you don't,
sure,
hear it in the media as much. They don't highlight the fact that the citizen saved the day,
mm-hmm,
you know, because they had their Second Amendment concealed carry permit and all of that. And yet that's the truth, is that we have all of these gun-free zones that seem to be targets for the enemy to come in and cause all kinds of havoc,
sure,
among everyday citizens. So that's good. That is so true. Now, I want to ask you this question, because I think this is where we're at in America right now, with all of the unrest, the civil unrest and the chaos going on in many communities, and now the threat of maybe coming to rural communities. Why is it important that we do a class and get the permit and get aware and get familiar with guns? What would you say to that person who's listening right now, said, I have no desire, I never really wanted to, I think it might incite trouble if I have a gun? Why should they take the class and get involved and be informed?
Because I for me particularly, I'm fairly young, but I learn more and more that you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people don't know that they have a right to self-defense, that a lot of people don't know they have a right to defend themselves in their home. A lot of people don't even know the realities of of using force to defend yourself. Everyone, thanks to Hollywood, has a certain perspective of how self-defense work or, you know, works, or how gunfighting works. And that's absolutely not the case. It's Hollywood fiction. I think the biggest reason for people to get trained is just to have your eyes opened. I have students who come through my concealed carry class, and at the end of class, they say, yeah, I'm not getting my permit because I don't want to deal with the civil and legal liability of carrying a gun and defending myself. They're like, I don't want to risk the lawsuits. And quite frankly, you know, that's totally reasonable. And I would argue that that was money really well spent. If you take a class and get an idea of, hey, this is what the law says. There's nothing that says you have to get your permit after you take that class. There's nothing that says you have to carry a gun. That's a choice for you to make. And so I would say take the class to find out what the law says. Right. Understand what your rights are. And then it's your choice as a citizen to exercise those rights.
I think that that's exactly what people need to do. Everybody needs to be informed, know where they're at in the law. And I know, too, I have found out through my research that if you take the class and get a permit in some states, they have like these interstate agreements, right?
It's called reciprocity.
Reciprocity, where if you like, let's just throw out, I think Utah is the one I look. Utah has a reciprocity with many states, but Oregon is a unique duck. Let's just say that, right?
Yeah.
That's appropriate, right?
Absolutely. Oregon doesn't recognize anybody else's permit. Mm-hmm. They have made the choice to have zero reciprocity. They will issue non-resident permits to bordering states. Mm-hmm. So if you live in Washington or Idaho or California, they will issue you a non-resident permit. You just have to apply to any sheriff's office in the state. You'll have to satisfy the same Oregon training requirements, which is handgun safety is a principal component of the course that you took. If you're in Oregon, now interestingly enough, a lot of other states do recognize Oregon's permit. That's a pretty long list of states, surprisingly enough. But Washington's the big one. You can't carry on an Oregon permit in the state of Washington. I think the primary reason Oregon chose that is because Washington has no training requirement, which is the main reason why they're like, yeah, we're not going to recognize Washington's permit. So then Washington looks at Oregon and says, well, I'm going to take my toys and go home. government's great. Interestingly enough, though, Washington will also issue non-resident permits for those in border states.
Okay.
So if
you
wanted to.
So that's how you get around it or whatever.
Yeah, you could get a non-permit.
For those that are traveling back and forth between Vancouver over to Portland, vice versa, or whatever. So the class is how long?
My concealed carry class is about 4 hours.
Okay. And what is the fee to attend one of these classes?
It's $45. You can sign up on Facebook at PDX Firearms Training. You can find us there, or pdxfirearmstraining.com.
Excellent. And it is a face-to-face?
Yep. Okay. I'm working on some online classes right now, which I'm super excited about. With my video production background,
Yay!
It made sense for me to do something online. So keep an eye on the Facebook page for that.
So we're kind of talking a little bit, and I want to throw this out to our listeners. We are talking about hosting Eric to come down to the area and host a class. And so I'm wondering if you're interested. I'm wondering, maybe you're like me, you've moved from another state and you want to get your Oregon conceal, you want to attend a class. If we were to host a class and find a location, which I have one in mind, if you're interested, would you let me know? Would you send me a email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, @KSLM.news, and let me know that, yes, Stacey, I'm interested in taking a class. If we get enough of us interested, you know, maybe 10 or more.
Yeah.
Would you come down and teach a class? I think it would be good to learn with my fellow listeners. I think it'd be a fun day. What do you think? We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I got a few more questions for you, Eric, after this. We'll be back. Good morning, Salem. Silverton, Monmouth, Independence, Turner. Good morning to you wherever you're listening. Maybe you're listening from South Dakota, Arkansas, Texas, or Oklahoma. Welcome to the morning show. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, and we're continuing the conversation about how important it is to protect our Second Amendment right to be informed, be engaged, get our concealed carry. And we were talking about maybe hosting a class right here. It would be fun for us to get together and have Eric come and teach us about concealed weapons. And I just want to say, as a gal, and I want to speak to the women out there that are listening, you know, if you've never thought of getting your concealed permit, I encourage you to do so. Why not join me? That would be fun. Guys can join too, but it seems like the gals are a little more timid, in my experience anyway. Maybe not so. Maybe that's a generalization, but I encourage you to let me know. Stacy, send me an email, Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. Several years ago, I want to say it's almost been about 9 years ago, I attended a Citizens Academy, Police Academy in the town of Rapid City, South Dakota, involved with the Chamber of Commerce, had been involved in the community, and I got invited to attend a 12-week Citizens Police Academy, and I learned so much in that process. And in that process, I realized how much our frontline, we call them frontline, our police, our sheriff, our state troopers, every day they gear up not knowing what they're going to face and how important it is in the work that they do. And Eric, I just have to say, I am so stirred right now about our police and what they're facing each and every day, particularly down in the Portland area. And as our listeners, many of us have said, we support our police. We support the blue. You know, we're wondering what we can do to show our support. And I'm wondering if you have any insight, as you have friends and colleagues, people that you know that are out there defending our freedoms, not only in the police, but also even the National Guard and things like that. Is there something as regular citizens we can do that would bring encouragement every day to those on the front lines?
Yeah, absolutely. I would reach out to your local agency, whichever one is your favorite, and talk to their, typically every agency has a PIO or a public information officer, find out if there's any needs that they have. Oftentimes, I think that the best thing that law enforcement can be reminded of is that the silent majority supports them. Mm. I think right now we're in a pivotal moment where the silent majority needs to stand up and say something. I think with all the violence and destruction that's happening nationwide, I know that the silent majority doesn't support it. We're seeing this turn up in Portland, and they're, you know, even some of the local news agencies aren't being super friendly with Mayor Ted Wheeler and Governor Brown right now. Mm. And I think that's telling. I think mm-hmm. that's very informative that the vast majority of people in the areas are tired. And it's like, if you're tired of it and you haven't been working 90 hours a week in riot gear, imagine how tired all of our officers are.
I can't imagine that, how worn out they are. Yeah. And one of the things that I heard, I interviewed a woman while I was in Sturgis who's written a book to help women, the wives of officers, and how they can help be supportive in their family. And it's like a little workbook, and it's very good, very good. And Jessica Mertz wrote that book, and she talked about just the mental health of mm-hmm. being in of an officer and that day, and because you're in that flight or fight, you know, you're in that adrenaline phase of protection and doing your job, that to come down off of that, it's a conflict a little bit. And so we need to ramp up our prayers. And she said practical things like bringing water, you know, bringing snacks, you know, that they can take with them, you know, and working with your public information officers, what you're saying, yep. You know, find out ways that you can bring encouragement. You know, my thinking, I was like, how about coffee and donuts?
Yeah.
But in this land of not sure if you're going to offend people, I mean, Portlandia seems to be like you're tiptoeing around because you're going to offend somebody on mm-hmm. something or another. I didn't know. But I thought it was fun. I know years ago I worked in a nonprofit organization, Pregnancy Center, and to our donors, we would bring milk and cookies. You know, I mean, it kind of tied in, you know. So any ways like that, you think practical ways, what I like to do is when I see someone in uniform, and I'll make a point. Of course, I'm cautious. You know, someone's approaching their car right fast. I'm very conscientious about that. But I'll just say, sir, ma'am, thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
So that's something simple that we can do. When you run across someone in uniform, whether it be military, police officer, sheriff, whatever, if you have an opportunity, you interact with them, just thank them. Simply thank them, and I'm mm-hmm. praying for you is what I'll say. Something like that can mean a lot. You don't know what they're facing in a day, and it's important. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that there is an element of policing that there are people that use that power incorrectly.
Absolutely.
And that's what how all of this started, right? All of this started with, oh my gosh, there was an abuse that had taken place when the gentleman passed away, and all of that spiraled. 90 days later, here we are still protesting, quote unquote, but it's now riots. And so I think it's really important that our local communities and our training, and in fact, right here in Salem, we have a training center of our police force. And so those things are handled. They're handled within departments. There is systems in place to handle the abuse of power is what I'm trying to communicate. And so that means we let those systems work, and we let the investigations happen and the facts come out before we react, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest tragedies that we're seeing now is that we are turning legal issues into political issues. Mm-hmm. And all of these high profile cases that have taken place, they are not political issues, they are legal issues. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and if you've never been part of an investigation, you don't understand the amount of work that goes into a good investigation. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how long that can take.
Yeah.
And we've even seen this up in Portland, where, you know, the Portland Police Bureau is trying to find people who are on video, on camera, whatever, committing criminal acts. And the protesters are demanding that law enforcement do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them will come forward as a witness.
Mm.
It's like it's almost impossible to prosecute people without witness testimony.
Right.
No DA is likely to try to take that case to trial, you know. So like if you want to see change in the system, then you need to learn the system. I think a lot of people have opinions about systems, and this is not just politics or legal stuff. It's about there are systems around the world that people don't know about that everyone has very strong opinions about, and I think that's super ironic.
Well, and I do too, and I think if the thing that we can do, again, bringing this back home as individuals, an individual responsibility, and we're all looking at relative risk.
Yep.
Whether we're going to wear the mask, not wear the mask, or we're going to have a concealed weapon permit or not, I think we all need to do our part. And I want to encourage our listeners again to get registered. He has classes going on right now. We're looking at having a class right here in Salem. Would love to have you be a part of it. Stacy@KSLM.news. Let me know if you want to join in on that. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining me today. Let's do this again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Give me your website again.
PDXFirearmsTraining.com. And on the media side, for those of you who are interested in that, that's NOPMedia.com.
Thank you for being a part of the conversation. I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Stacy.
Thank you for tuning in, my friends. You've been listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Let me know if you want to join in and be trained for concealed weapon permit. Send me an email, Stacy@KSLM.news. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you are an overcomer. Have a blessed day.